This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. April 2010 will be remembered as a dark time for the nation's energy industry. The month saw the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig in the Gulf, which led to the catastrophic oil spill, as well as the explosion at the Upper Big Branch coal mine in West Virginia that killed 29 miners. Add to that the overwhelming concern about the United States' dependence on fossil fuels and the need for new types of energy is obvious and clear. One growing energy sector is the so-called biomass industry, where wood is burned and converted into energy. Trees are, in theory, replenishable, and even though they release carbon dioxide when burned, they absorb it from the air when alive. But a recent study commissioned by the State Energy Resources Department has thrown into question just how green wood-burning energy is, raising the question over the fate of two biomass power plants proposed for Western Massachusetts. So, listeners, what do you think about the practice of burning wood for energy, and not just in your homes, but as an industry? Do you think it deserves tax incentives in the form of renewable energy credits? Or do you think we should be investing our money in other types of renewable energy, like wind or solar? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, in just a bit, we're going to hear from both sides of the biomass energy debate. But first, I'd like to turn to Tom Walker. He's the leader of the study that was conducted by the Manomet Center for Conservation Sciences, the one that throws into question some claims about the energy efficiency and carbon neutrality of biomass, the biomass industry. Tom Walker, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So why don't you just briefly outline for us what the study found in terms of the environmental impacts of burning wood as a power source or an energy source for Massachusetts?
Well, the study focused on a couple of different topics. One was a look at what would be the impacts to the forests themselves. And then the second topic was to look at how would burning wood affect greenhouse gas emissions from the energy sector in Massachusetts. And
why don't you walk us through that first one? Because I think that's the one that catches, or the second one, that's what catches most people's attention. Is biomass a carbon neutral form of energy for Massachusetts?
Carbon neutrality is a subject that, you know, has swirled around biomass for a while here. And, you know, over the long run, biomass can be carbon neutral. Essentially, all the emissions that would come out of a power plant burning wood could be resequestered in growing forests. And that is true. And what we have looked at is the temporal dimension of that and tried to understand how long does it take, what are the patterns that exist there, and what's the general net impact on greenhouse gases over time.
So I understand that you found that the payback could be as short as, say, 5 years if a wood-burning plant is simply used for heat and replaces some kind of oil-fired facility, but the payback in terms of if the wood is replacing electric generators or some other kind of power plant, that it's a much longer time horizon before we see its green neutrality, right?
I think that's a correct characterization. We found that these heat-based thermal-type plants could recover the additional carbon emissions quite quickly. For electricity, it depends a bit on the source of the wood you're burning. We found that if you're burning nothing but logging residues, which would have been left in the forest anyway and given up their carbon, you can recover all that emitted carbon very quickly simply because it would have been released anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If you're cutting live trees, it takes much longer, and in the case of electricity, for coal-fired electricity, it can take 2 to 3 decades, and for natural gas, it can take many more decades.
So there is currently one biomass plant, at least one in Massachusetts, if I understand that correctly. Is that true?
That is correct.
And do we know if they receive their fuel, their tree fuel, from standing forests, or are they getting it from, you know, places that have already been logged, as you said?
I'm not certain what the pine tree plant in Massachusetts is getting it from. I believe, you know, they're getting some logging residues, and my sense is they also receive some thinnings that occur in forests to make them sort of higher quality timber lands for people.
So, Tom Walker, if I could just be sure that I understand this correctly, because it is quite a complicated issue here. The conclusion that your study came out with was that depending on where you get the fuel from, the biomass plant can either be, you know, a positive net green benefit, or it takes a much longer time for it to be carbon neutral. That's really the key finding here.
I think it's a little broader than that, in the sense that it's not just the source of the fuel. It is also the efficiency of the biomass technology itself. It's what fossil fuel, it's replacing, mm-hmm. and it's how you manage the forest. And the big takeaway for me on this study is that, you know, each situation can be somewhat unique, and it's very difficult to generalize.
Okay, well, and the big takeaway, it seemed, for Energy and Environment Secretary Ian Bowles here in Massachusetts is that something needs to be done about it regarding carbon credits that are given out to plants here in Massachusetts. So we will get to that in just a second. Tom Walker at the Manomet Center for Conservation Scientists, who did this new study on biomass industry here in Massachusetts, or in general. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, also with us now is Bob Cleaves. He's president and CEO of the Biomass Power Association. Bob Cleaves, welcome to Radio Boston.
Magna, thanks for having me.
And I'd also like to introduce James McCaffrey. He's director of the Massachusetts Sierra Club as well. James McCaffrey, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Magna.
So, Bob Cleaves, just the first reaction from you on this finding that it's a little more complicated than people maybe were previously told about the carbon neutrality and greenness of the biomass industry.
Well, you know, as an industry group, we agree, and I commend Manomet for doing a very ambitious study about this issue. And Tom is right. The issue is, or the analysis of the issue, really turns on the source of the fuel, the type of energy you're producing, and of course, and we wholeheartedly agree with this, the sustainability standards have to be there in order for this type of energy to be considered renewable.
Mm-hmm. And in Massachusetts, I mean, there's word that there were some plants which were considered to be built and sometime in the future. Do you have a sense as to where the fuel largely comes from here in Massachusetts?
Well, I really don't. Okay. We're a national trade association, and we look at it from a much broader perspective of power plants in 20 states. Across the country. I will tell you that this practice is not new. The industry has been around for the better part of 30 years, and it really grew up around the concept of taking residues and byproducts of the forest products industry and putting them to good use in a way, as Tom said, that if they aren't consumed in the generation of energy, will cause greenhouse gas emissions, and we'll be in a much worse situation than we already are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in many respects, we're kind of, you know, somebody described our industry the other day as we're the garbage men of the forest. And so we think we serve a useful purpose. I will tell you that I think what's missing in this debate is any discussion about the economic realities of our business, in that it really is not economic to be going out and harvesting entire forests, harvesting merchantable timber, to then ship that fuel and use it as energy. And we don't think that that's the appropriate approach anyway.
Okay, well, let's get some reaction on that from James McCaffrey of the Massachusetts Sierra Club. Your response to what you heard Bob Cleaves just say about that it's not economic to go down and cut down whole forests, that they'd largely be looking for trash left behind in logging that's already been done.
Well, I think this gets to the heart of the issue, Magna, that this industry is looking to ramp up vastly nationwide, and that's what was happening here in Massachusetts with a number of plants being proposed. And we have looked at some of the numbers for the amount of volume of trees that you're talking about in Massachusetts. You're talking about, one of these plants burns about 1 ton of wood a minute, or that's 650,000 tons a year. So if you look at what a typical 50-megawatt plant in Massachusetts would do, it would be about 22 square miles of heavy logging in Massachusetts just to fuel one of these plants. And what it comes back to for us is what you should be incentivizing in the renewable energy marketplace. And we think you should be sending these renewable energy credits over to things like wind and solar and not putting them into burning trees for electricity.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs Ian Bowles has indicated that they're going to modify what qualifies for renewable energy tax credits in Massachusetts now. Bob Cleaves of the Biomass Power Association, is that going to have an impact on the sort of economic viability of even building and operating these plants here in the state to begin with?
Well, I certainly hope it doesn't. And let me just make this point really clearly. The Sierra Club commended Middlebury College for being what they call a cool school for the construction of a biomass plant and towards reaching Middlebury College's goal of being carbon neutral by 2016. So we think that there's broad support for biomass, even by the Sierra Club. Now, I think that if you look at what Secretary Bowles has proposed, what Middlebury College correctly did by putting a biomass facility on their campus probably wouldn't be possible under what Massachusetts is proposing. And frankly, we think that's too bad because we think the direction that schools and universities, institutions across the country take with respect to diversifying their energy mix and greening up their renewable energy is an important and valuable step. But clearly what the Secretary is proposing is something that we're very, very concerned about because, again, and this I think is a point that Manomet made very well, that Manomet's study was really focused on it was unique to Massachusetts and it focused on if we were to harvest Massachusetts forests, not doing residue or byproduct, what frankly the entire industry does across the country, but if we start harvesting forests, what's the carbon footprint? But that's not what our industry is about, and if the government in Massachusetts decides to make policy decisions based upon a study that has nothing to do with our industry, that gets us very concerned.
But on the other hand, James McCaffrey of the Massachusetts Sierra Club is saying that you would have to harvest some kind of forest-like area in order to fuel these new plants, which were under consideration in Massachusetts. James McCaffrey, on that point, let me just ask you briefly. I mean, these wood-fueled power plants were seen as part of the mix to help Massachusetts meet its state-mandated goal of reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 80% by 2050. So if this whole industry, this biomass industry, is now no longer or maybe less so looked upon as a way to help us meet that goal, what are we going to do?
Well, we're going to need to move to incentivize things like wind and solar. You're talking about an industry when it's operating at a very low efficiency, less than most coal-fired power plants, of less than 20% and emitting 1.5 times as much carbon as a typical coal-fired power plant. The facility that Mr. Cleaves referenced there that the Sierra Club gave an award to a college for is a combined heat and power facility. These are the types of facilities that we should be moving towards. There's a distinction between the types of facilities. There's these massive, huge electricity generating scale facilities at 50 megawatts or in that range. And then there's smaller combined heat generating facilities that are in the 80% range that are much more efficient. Those kind of things might work as part of the risk, but the big as part of the mix, but the big stuff is too much of a risk.
Let's get a couple calls in here. Tom's calling from Randolph. Welcome to Radio Boston, Tom.
Thank you. This is a very multifaceted argument, and there's definitely no one right answer, but the one thing that I can say is that there probably is a limited role for this kind of wood use, and it would probably be better in a place that has things like regenerative capabilities with our forests, particularly in the Northeast, where some people consider certain areas of the Northeast a perfect area for growing trees. Granted, nobody likes to see clear cut, and the idea that we'll only use thinning or debris from other industry is a bit naive. So I would just like to say that I think there probably is a limited role for these kinds of facilities, but I don't think that will necessarily be beneficial in the long term because it is non-sustainable in the long term.
Tom, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Donald's calling from Atkinson, New Hampshire. Welcome to you, Donald.
Yes, I would like to make the point that it looks like the state of Massachusetts is doing one size fit all on these on this industry and basically trying to kill it, same way we managed to kill it in New Hampshire, which, we're a small town where the governor happened to live, was fighting against a plant that was going to burn destruction debris and basically banned all those kind of plants in New Hampshire effectively by the heavy-handed legislation they enacted. In Massachusetts, it looks like they're going to do this, I guess, with a regulation or a ruling, but each plant needs to have its own site, it be listing its fuel sources, and then being able to justify its sustainability. And also, you need to look at other waste streams. There's plastic paper pellets. There's the recycled paper stream that's not useful for making other products.
So a lot of other potential fuel sources. Donald, thank you so much for your call. Let me turn that to Bob Cleaves. He's president of the Biomass Power Association. Bob, if I could just ask you, James McCaffrey brought up earlier that maybe the efficiency is really one of the questions we should be looking at. So why shouldn't we ask the biomass industry to build the most efficient types of plants possible, to get these environmental credits?
Well, I think we share the view that over time all technologies, whether they're biomass or wind or solar, that we should be striving for greater efficiency. I don't think anybody debates that. I think the question is, how do we get there? And this is this goes to the broader debate about energy in this country. There's no perfect solution. Do we build on what we've done in the last 30 years, or do we essentially throw the baby out with the bathwater and start from scratch? If we do the latter, we will never meet any kind of basic renewable energy goals. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts is a leader in the country in setting aggressive renewable portfolio standard mandates, and we think that should continue. And we applaud that. We applaud the Patrick administration for taking those efforts. But let's be clear about this. Combined heat and power and you know, wood thermal applications in rural Vermont would not be happening. Middlebury would not do its project right now if there wasn't infrastructure in the woods already, and there would not be infrastructure in the woods already if it weren't for larger scale electricity only facilities.
Well, we've just got a minute left, Bob Cleaves, and I've got to give the last word here to James McCaffrey of the Sierra Club.
I agree that the administration needs to be commended for taking this bold move and this directive. I mean, you have an industry here that is saying, you know, Mr. Cleaves has said a couple times on the air that they're not going to use anything other than residues to fuel these huge plants, and yet you can just go to any of these facilities and look at their websites. In Massachusetts, the Fitchburg Power Plant talks about burning whole trees. New Hampshire, burning whole trees. Bethlehem Power Station, burning whole trees. We need to follow what's in this directive of the Patrick administration and benchmark efficiency and do a life cycle analysis of how this is really going to get us to our green energy goals.
James McCaffrey, director of the Massachusetts Sierra Club, thank you so much for being here today. And Bob Cleaves, president and CEO of the Biomass Power Association, thank you as well. You can always continue this conversation online at wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. We talked about trees fueling power plants today. What about trees fueling the brains of young children? We'd look at the new form of playgrounds tomorrow on Radio Boston. That's at 3. Join us then. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.